Pine Sweat by Apple Crumbledore. Rating is explicit. No archive warnings apply. Category is male-male. Fandom is supernatural. Relationship, Dean Winchester / Sam Winchester. Characters, Sam Winchester, Dean Winchester, Zachariah. Additional tags, time travel, season series 5, case fic, camping, pining, POV alternating. Sharing a bed. Samulet. Angst. Canon typical violence. Angel fuckery. Blood and injury. Sexual tension. Masturbation. Mild gore. Trauma. Early series. Desire. Dean was gone when Sam woke up a few hours later, which Sam pretty much figured would happen. He blinked down at the sheets and found the dried splatch where Dean's cum had been inexpertly wiped up using something that, Sam hoped, didn't belong to him. He rolled onto his back. The brightness of the tent hurt his eyes, the monochrome orange glow over everything. He fixated on it because it was easy and overwhelming, straightforward, not like, well, it had just felt like something they could do when they woke up together, horny and close. He wasn't thinking, or he was, but he couldn't describe it. A latch fitting into place. A satisfying click. He hadn't wanted to have sex in so long, and Dean let him. He wanted it. He put Sam's hand over his mouth. Maybe Sam hadn't thought about it before, but he didn't realize it was an option. Now that he knew it was, he was thinking about it. Thinking and thinking and thinking. He ran his hands up his thighs. He was hard, either again or still. He woke up hard all the time, but it was usually without the heat of intent behind it. Now, there was something. There was the fresh memory of Dean struggling to breathe under his hand. There was that closeness he wanted, just closer. He couldn't hear anything outside the tent. He pushed his shirt up and ran a flat hand over his stomach. His dick rose against his boxers, tenting out. He closed his eyes and inched his hand farther downward with each pass, like he'd done to Dean. He slid his hand over his dick and held it, like he'd done to Dean. His body woke up, piece by piece, remembering. Dean's bag was laying on its side by his head. He pulled himself up and patted the pockets, looking, wondering if he knew his brother as well as he thought he did, and bingo. In a tiny zippered side pocket, he felt a shape like a tube. He pulled out a small bottle of lube. Dean liked to jerk off with lube, one of the thousand facts Sam knew about him completely unwillingly. He spent his adolescence waking up to the quiet sounds of Dean getting himself off in the next bed. Tip, 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 tip. Only made bearable by the fact that he subjected Dean to the same thing often enough back then. He wasn't totally surprised that Dean bought some when they stopped for toiletries. Like he said himself, whenever he had 5 free minutes. Sam admired his dedication to his craft. Sam pulled down his boxers, listening for sounds outside. He took his dick in his hand, dripped lube on, and stroked, teasing. It didn't take much to get him going after so long without, and even just that made his toes curl. The thing with Dean wasn't about sex. Or it was, but that wasn't the end of it. Sam didn't know why he wanted it, or what wanting even meant. Dean was Dean all the time because he didn't know how to be anything else, not to Sam. He was familiar. He was home. Sam knew how he smelled and how he sounded, and it was childish and pathetic, but sometimes he wanted to bury his face in his chest, like he was a little kid again. He'd also never gotten head from someone who died for him. Maybe he was curious. Dean would do it, he was pretty sure. Dean had probably done it before because if his teenage self's devotional interest in Sam's pecs was any indication, any macho denial he had around getting with dudes wouldn't have lasted long. Sam hadn't, but he thought about it. A little too drunk or a little too fucked up and he'd think about it. What it would be like to get on his knees in front of a guy. It was closer to empirical curiosity than lust. But it wasn't not lust. He knew Dean would lose his mind if he blew him, gasped affirmations and fingers pulling through his hair. Dean was needy. He'd be needy in bed. Sam could give him that. Sam could hold him down. That's all it would be about, giving him what he needed. Because that's all they ever did with each other, and there was no meaningful difference between licking wounds and licking everything else. His hand sped up, bringing himself tighter. One of his knees drew up. It felt better than he remembered it being for a long time, relief from a tension he didn't know he was carrying. Once he started thinking about it, he couldn't stop, and he pictured getting Dean on his stomach, looking down at his muscled back, and following the curved line of his spine down to where he was splitting him in two. It hit him quick and kept coming. Dean would want him to. Dean did want him to. Since he was 17, apparently, Dean had wanted him to. He came suddenly and hard, slamming up against the limit of what he could take. He tried not to make a mess and caught most of it in his hand, teeth grit, head tipped back. His blood thundered in his ears, and when he opened his eyes, his vision was blotchy and acid-etched. He reached up, found the roll of toilet paper they'd been carrying with them, and wiped off his hand. He folded an arm across his eyes and lay there buzzing with pleasure, guilty, tired, churning. Post-nut clarity was a bitch. Jerking off thinking about your brother was also a bitch. Jerking off your brother, period, was a whole level of worse. He didn't know what he was doing, and it wasn't worth pretending that he did. He'd talk to Dean. He couldn't think about it any more than that. He'd get up and find him, and it would be whatever it was going to be. A fight or something worse. Whatever it was, wherever they were going, Dean was there, too. He couldn't back out of a handjob. Not even Dean could be so pig-headedly evasive. He pulled on clothes, John's USMC shirt. Awful given the context, but it was the cleaner of his two, and uselessly tidied the tent to stall for time. Opening the flap and letting in fresh air was like his first real breath in hours. The air wasn't cold like it should have been so early in the morning, but it was fresh and clean. His knees protested as he stood. There was the boys' tent across the clearing, closed and silent, the blackened coals of their fire, and stillness. He left the camp and headed aimlessly for the rock wall without thinking about it. His boots crunching on the dead pine needles underfoot was the loudest sound around. He walked along the rock face for a while, wondering if Dean might be there, and when he wasn't, he went to the creek. After a few minutes, he saw the shape of Dean through the trees, a blur of skin in the dusty brown rock, and blue jeans. His chest got tight. He breathed through it. He told himself. He can't change the past. All he can control is how you deal with it. He wished he didn't have to say that to himself so often. Dean was shaving, sitting on the bank of the creek with his knees apart. He didn't turn around, though Sam was sure he heard him. He had his shirt off and his smooth, sunburnt shoulders were speckled with freckles like an eggshell. He used to have a puckered scar on the back of his left shoulder before his return from hell wiped his body clean. He got it while Sam was at school, and Sam never had occasion to ask him how when he still had it. Bringing it up after he lost it seemed stupid. Sam stood behind him and picked at his nails. It was still just Dean, but the low, choked sound he made when he came bounced around in Sam's ear like an echo. He could feel the phantom grip of Dean's sweaty fingers around his wrist. He was hyper-aware of his own dick, still spent and sensitive, in a way he didn't appreciate. It was Dean, for fuck's sake. I guess I'm not mad anymore, he wanted to say. I don't like it either, but I guess I got some of whatever you have. Nothing between them had ever been easy, and deciding whether it was good or bad that they wanted to touch each other was no different. Sam knew they'd figure it out. They made it through everything else, and that had been worse than this. Dean wet his face with a cupped palm of water, then slid his, their razor over his cheek. He made no move to turn around, so Sam said, Hey. His stomach dropped the moment Dean didn't stop shaving. He didn't pause for even a second, let alone look at him. Sam watched him dip the razor in the creek, lift it again, and take another rasping stroke over his skin. Silent. Sam got a headache instantly, creeping over his skull with mind-numbing dread. Dean cut him off. It's the demigod. Whiplash. What? Desire. The demigod's area of effect. We're in it. Dean's voice was rough and curt. Sam stared at the back of his head, fingers pricking with adrenaline and disbelief. He'd woken up horny, sure, but that wasn't it. For Dean to even try to... Are you kidding? Of course Dean would put it down to that. Of course Dean wouldn't... Jesus, he wasn't even looking at him. No, Dean said, with another stroke of his razor. Whatever, just forget it. You think I... Forget it, Sam. Anger curled in Sam's gut quicker than any of the other thousand things he felt all at once. He wanted to fucking shake Dean, come up behind him and boot him into the creek. I trusted you, you son of a bitch. If you don't want it, you shouldn't have given it to me. It could have been so easy, you fucking coward. He didn't know what he was doing, but he stupidly thought that Dean did. As if being mildly, magically horny could matter at all. As if every pair of brothers were one misplaced boner away from waking up each other with handjobs. Sure. Sam bit out, dripping with acid. Shake him and shake him and shake him and shake him. Dean nodded, looking down into the creek. Okay then. Okay then. Sam stared at him, incensed and sick with regret, hands flexing. If Dean didn't feel, Sam didn't know what to call it. If he didn't feel content and happy and safe like a stupid kid waking up together like that, not even for a second, not even enough to be worth talking about, then that was Dean's fucking problem, not his. Except now it was really, really Sam's problem, and he didn't know what to do about it. He wet his lips. You are so... Hey! The younger Sam shouted from behind them, and they heard the crunch of his sneakers pounding the dirt. Hey! Your walkie-talkie's going off. He came running down the hill from the camp holding one of the walkie-talkies. He skidded to a stop in front of Sam and Dean. A crackly, broken voice rang out. Pray. Me. Trap. It's. To. Trap. It's. Pray. Me. Trap. Sammy was the first to speak. That doesn't sound good. Ish. Trap. Trap. Sam looked up at Dean. Working the case eclipsed their sick little family drama. Is that? It was Cass, unmistakably, even with the choppy static and the cutting out. Yep. Dean said, flat. His face was waxy and tight. He'd put his shirt back on. Sam didn't want to think about him at all. The younger Sam looked up at him. You know him? What's he saying? Sam and Dean shared a look. Dean spoke first. He's a friend of ours. From the future. He scratched the back of his neck. He'd be around now, too. But he wouldn't know us back then. Back now. Sammy took the walkie-talkie from Sam and held it to his ear, squinting. Is that... Pray like prey animal, or pray like God? Dunno. Dean lied. They all went quiet. The speaker kept babbling, cutting in and out. Sam took it from his younger self and brought it up to his mouth. Cass, is that you? More crackling static, broken up even worse into syllables. It went dead. They went back to camp in stunned, muddled silence until Sam saw the younger Dean wasn't out of his tent. How's he doing? Sam asked his younger self, who frowned at the closed tent. I don't think he slept much. That wasn't good. They needed to cover ground today, and it would be slow going if he was hobbling. When they started out, Sam knew how quick they had to be at the mountaintop before everyone was killed. But now it was getting away from him. 4, 5 days, a week? They didn't have long, regardless, and an eviscerated kid didn't move fast. Let me know what you need. He said anyway, but Sammy just nodded and disappeared into their tent, leaving Sam alone with Dean. Sam could be mature about this. He could keep the pissy little fire he'd been stoking down to a simmer. And he wasn't mad. He was, there wasn't a word for it. Confused and pissed off and guilty altogether, and nothing he felt like addressing. Dean was right. Forget it. Okay, then. They started packing up their tent in silence. Sam felt like all they did was put up and take down that fucking tent, and it was already hot out. He was dripping sweat. Did anger make you run hotter? It seemed like it did. Not that Sam was mad. Dean said, Cass was telling us to pray to him. Focus on how they were 13 years in the past, boiling alive in California. Sounds like it, Sam said, stuffing blankets into his bag. And that there's a trap. Zachariah and co, you think? Maybe. If Cass wants us to pray, he means to the him that's here. The one that wouldn't know us yet, right? I guess. Unless angels are outside of time in a way we don't know about. But then he wouldn't need the praying, I guess. Unless he doesn't know where we are. Sam folded up the tarp. It was all wet on the inside from the condensation of their breath. Dean's breath that morning, hot against his palm. He fumbled a tent pole and dropped it, distracted. Dean said, How's he gonna find us? He took us off Angel radar. Sam went still. Then how did Zachariah find us? He looked up. Dean had put an absent hand to his ribs, staring off into middle distance.
Huh.
Yeah, so either the branding's gone or...
They already knew where we were.
Yeah. The tent was packed up. They were done with their task, and now they had to look at each other, and Dean did look at him, finally. He looked like shit. Sweaty and tired and shifty. Sam wanted to spike a tent pole through his own eyeball into his brain. He realized with a growing horror that Dean probably wasn't wrong about them being in the circle of desire. It was hard to describe, but when he thought about it, there was an incongruous arousal somewhere in him, like a teenager's vague and directionless horniness. Nothing to do with Dean or anything else. It didn't change much, but it was there. He said, This is bad. He meant it about everything, but Dean could take it how he wanted. Dean made a kind of pained grimace.
Yep.
It was going to be a long couple of days. Sammy came out of his tent, wiping pinkish water from his hands like a surgeon leaving the operating room, and he looked about as grim. He answered Sam's questioning look.
It's infected.
Dean sighed.
Shit. You think?
Yeah, it's all hot and he's got a fever. Hotter than normal, yeah.
Their kit didn't have antibiotics. Sam checked the night before when he started to plan out the worst case scenario, which was currently happening.
We have to keep moving,
he said, as tactfully as he could manage. We can help pack up your stuff. I'll carry his bag, but...
I know.
Sammy rubbed his arm, looking back at the tent. It won't help to wait around. The sooner we get up there.
Yeah, okay.
The tent flapped open and young Dean hunched out. He looked worse than yesterday, visibly exhausted, and he was holding the arm on his wounded side weirdly.
It's a tent.
He grit out.
Not Fort fucking Knox. I can hear you.
We weren't whispering. Sammy pretended to whip him in the side. Dean flinched, then smacked him in the head in retaliation.
You know you're sick, idiot. It's not a secret.
Whatever. Dean looked down and hovered his hand over his side.
I'm fine to move. It's just healing.
It looks like roadkill.
Only because you're a butcher with the stitches.
Sammy snorted. I'll show you a butcher. And pretended to jab at his ribs again. Dean twisted away, laughing. It was sweet, and the day before, it would have made nostalgia pull at Sam's heartstrings, but everything was fucked up now, and it just looked like flirting.
Keep that up, and in 13 years, you'll touch his dick.
It wasn't like that, but it was now, to him. It broke everything. Sam, the older Dean said, clearly not for the first time. Sam's eyes snapped into focus.
Huh? were packing up their shit. The kids were somewhere else now. Sam felt like he'd been hit with a flashbang. Dean brushed past him to get to the tent, and when he did, he muttered, "Keep your head in the game." Sam nearly shoved him. "You keep your head in the game," he grumbled, but he didn't mean it. He was the only one who wasn't keeping up. They left camp with Sam way up ahead, the kids in the middle, and Dean bringing up the rear, which put the two of them as far apart as possible while still technically traveling together, not that Sam was keeping score. They found the rock wall and traced the edge, searching for the lowest point to scale it. Sam had the walkie-talkie on his belt, just in case. They were quiet until Dean cleared his throat dramatically. "We're, in a new demigod zone. Anyone notice?" "Young Dean, is it throbbing pain and pus?" "No, just me?" "Can it, smartass?" Dean sighed, dramatically. "All right, I'm just gonna say this once, and then we're never gonna talk about it again. Got it?" Young Dean gurgled. "Oh, God, not this." "I don't like it any more than you do." Dean took a deep breath. "Okay, so, you're gonna get urges." A pause while his younger self made a gagging noise, immature. "And they're not your fault. They've got nothing to do with you. The call's not coming from inside the house." Sam looked over his shoulder. Dean was very pointedly not looking at him. Sam's mouth was moving before he realized it was him talking. "I mean, it could be." "It's not," Dean snapped. "You're not in control of it." "You're still you. You're in control. Or you're not in control." "Don't listen to him. It's not your fault. If you..." "Yeah, nobody's gonna get mad. They're just not actually your feelings. Whatever you're feeling." "What if they are?" Sam pressed. Young Dean looked ahead at Sam and then back at Dean, one after the other. "Are you having a stroke? What the fuck are you talking about?" The two of them, in accidental unison, "Nothing." Sam winced. He was about to say something when young Dean cut him off. "You already told us this when we started out. We're gonna get horny, but it's not sex pollen. Let's just do whatever we've gotta do and not get on anybody's case about it. Or ever talk about it again. Sound good?" He didn't wait for a response. "Great. Good talk. Glad one of us is being a fucking adult about this." They walked in excruciating silence until Sammy said, "It's not that bad." His tone was indecipherable beyond vaguely annoyed. "We're not five." Guilt prickled at the back of Sam's brain. If they didn't tone it down, the kid would catch on quick, and he wasn't sure what would happen after that. Sam was too far removed from 13 to know how he'd react if he found out Dean wanted him, and too burdened by their lives since then, and his growing present-day horror fascination fixation at the idea of the whole thing, to be objective. For better or worse, freaked out would probably cover it, and he didn't want to freak the kid out. Sam kept his eyes forwards, scanning the rock as much for some distraction as any real desire to get upwards and onwards. Focus on the case. Save the town. Get home. They came to a spot that was obviously best, a dip shorter than the rest by a foot, with a neat ladder of rocks up an indent in the face. Sam stood at the base and looked up. "As good a place as any." The younger Sam came up next to him. "You want to do the honors?" Sammy set his bag down and climbed up easily. Once he was at the top, he disappeared from view. "Huh," he said, slow. "That's not on the map." "What isn't?" Sam called up, but he didn't come back. "Hey, what do you see?" Dean was already on the wall and halfway up in one reach. Sam looked to the younger Dean next to him. "You want me to?" "Just spot me," he grumbled. He put his hands on the rock, tested the holds, and got one foot up, then the other. He made it another step before he reached up, grunted in pain, and twitched hard enough that Sam put his hands out to catch him. Dean scowled down at him. "I'm fine." Above, The older Dean had his hand out for him to take, but he was looking over his shoulder as he did it.
"What is it?"
Sam called up. Dean didn't look down.
"Some kind of house."
Dean pulled the younger one up the rest of the way. Sam threw their packs up after him and got on the wall. He could hear them talking, but couldn't make out the words. He got a hand over the top and pulled, and the second he was up, he scanned the tree line. Off in the distance, there was a dark shape like a house. The other three stood looking at it as Sam got to his feet, brushing dirt from his jeans.
"I didn't think anyone lived up here outside the compound."
"Yeah,"
Dean said, faintly. His hand was on his gun.
"We'll scout it out. You and me, we."
He pointed at the younger Dean.
"Don't get any ideas. Stay here."
The kid just sneered at him. Dean nodded at Sam and started off towards the house, slow and careful between the trees. Dean had his gun out.
Sam mumbled, "Put it away. It's just going to be some homesteader freaks."
Dean looked at him over his shoulder with an annoyed squint. He lowered his gun, but didn't holster it. Sam put his hand on his own gun, but didn't take it out. They crept closer. The house was a small cabin made of massive, dark logs, half rotted and ancient, with a dilapidated porch and one cloudy window on the front.
"Abandoned?"
Sam breathed. He caught a barely there nod from Dean, who still didn't holster his gun. Up close, the thing reeked of age and disrepair. Dean swung wide to go around the back. Sam followed. There was one more window along the side, too dark inside to see through. Out back stood a rusted metal pump next to an old bathtub plumbed to nothing and overgrown with weeds. Farther off, there were some jagged metal shapes that may have, at one point, been farm equipment, and half a bike. All of it looked like it had been there for a lifetime. Sam sidled up to the back door, covered by a porch that matched the front. He nudged it, but it didn't budge until he grabbed the rusted metal handle and shoved with his shoulder to make it swing in, scraping along the floor. The cabin smelled like years of dust and shut-in air. Just enough light came through the doorway to make out the single room. A small wooden table, a wooden bed frame with a thin mattress, and an empty wooden counter along one side. Nothing even halfway modern in the whole place, like it had been missed by the passage of time. The back porch creaked as Dean came up behind him. Sam could feel the heat blasting off his body.
"Freaky,"
Dean said, breath on Sam's neck, which had to be by accident. It was a small doorway. Sam pushed the door in to get some space.
"Who puts a vacation shack 3 days' hike from the highway?"
"No idea."
He walked through the cabin, no more than a few strides long from back to front, and pulled the front door open so light spilled into the room in a neat column. He could see the two boys off by the cliff through the trees, just shapes with the sun behind them. Sam looked a moment longer, squinted harder. They were moving weirdly, close together, and their voices were louder than conversational. Dean was behind him again.
"Can't leave them alone for a second."
Sam could smell his sweat, and it made that out-of-nowhere lust rise in his throat again. He could turn around and walk Dean back into the cabin, cram into that shitty bed with him, and see what happened. See how easy it was for him to forget it then. Sam took a thin, careful breath. He put it away and said nothing. He made his way back to the boys and caught Sammy talking fast and frustrated. He was digging through one of their packs. "Like some cat that hides that it's sick till it's half dead. I'm going to wake up one morning and you're going to be hiding under the porch."
"It's not that bad."
The younger Dean was leaning against a tree, holding his shirt away from his side. The fabric glinted wetly. Sam said,
"Did you?"
He opened his cuts. Sammy snipped, still digging through the backpack. "Because he's too cool to get a friggin' leg up from his brother."
"He's not my brother. You're my brother."
"We're both your brother. What the hell is wrong with you? Holy fuck, where's the—" Sam nudged his younger self out of the way.
"Easy, it's in mine. There's no one in the cabin. You can fix him up there."
They hauled their bags to the cabin and threw them inside. Simmy made a futile attempt to shake the dust off the comforter on the bed before making Dean lay down on it. Sam held the med kit out to him, but he was busy trying to yank Dean's shirt over his head. "Gotta wash this now, or what? You want another cougar following you around? Because of the blood smell?" "Jesus, Sammy, it was an accident." Sammy snatched the med kit from Sam and tucked his hair behind his ears. Sam unconsciously did the same. "Is there water?" Sammy asked him. "Not in. Wait, there's a pump out back. One sec." He only realized it was cooler in the cabin once he was outside again and the sun hit his shoulders. He pulled at the weeds that were snarled around the metal pump until he could get at it, then put all his weight on the handle. It juddered and creaked and eased down a few squeaking inches, and when he pulled it back up, it did the same, over and over again until it was moving easier, but still dry. He could see the shape of Dean watching him from the doorway, and he felt stupid. There was a limit to how long a person worked an old pump before giving up. He was soaked, and his arms ached. He didn't have much water left, and hell if he'd go hunting for that creek again. It would be huge if he could get this thing working. The pump made a horrible, gurgling noise and let a brown stream of water gush out. Sam whooped in victory without meaning to. He kept working it until it ran clear, then called back to the house. "Bring rags." The water was almost cool, which made it the only thing that wasn't actively hot that Sam had touched in days. Dean brought him rags. He wet them, and they brought them back to the cabin and leaned on the edge of the table to watch the medical proceedings. Young Dean had his forearm folded over his head to expose his side. His fingers flexed as his brother slipped the torn stitches free. Sammy said, "It's barely stopped bleeding. How is it infected and bleeding?"
"That famous Winchester look," Dean mumbled.
"This blanket's gross. Why is there a cabin here? It's old as hell."
From the table, Dean said,
"Hey, don't look a gift horse in the mouth."
Gift or not, it was unsettling. Sam looked around again for any signs of humanity, clothes or food or photos, but there was nothing. At the same time, the cabin had things in it. There were utensils in a drawer and a fire poker by the back door. The half-inch layer of dust on everything meant he wasn't too worried that they'd be caught out if they squatted there. He went out back and took a wary drink from the pump. It was metallic, but tasted fresh enough. To be sure, he put a purifying tablet in everyone's water bottle before filling them, and if he dilly-dallied a bit, there was no one around to see it. He wasn't sure if he was imagining the tense, heady atmosphere in the cabin or if it was all him, but the place reeked of hormones. Even with the heat, it was nice to be outside. His younger self's voice drifted out from the cabin behind him.
"Just a few hours. Come on."
Dean, the older one.
"We don't have time. He'll make it."
"The whole thing is puffy and fucked up. He needs to not sweat for a while. We've got to keep it clean."
A long pause, and then,
"You could wait here."
Sam turned and headed back to the house. The two of them were standing on the back porch, hovering awkwardly. Sammy with his arms crossed and Dean scratching idly at his cheek. They both looked up when Sam approached.
"We're not splitting up,"
Sam interrupted, sounding more authoritative than he felt.
"We shouldn't be far now. If we leave you and something happens,"
he met Dean's eyes. "This is a new timeline. We never made it this far. We don't know that you don't die here." Sammy got a deeply stricken look on his face.
"He's not that bad. He just needs some rest. I gave him another one of those pills. It'll be better in a few hours."
Sam could hear the cajoling quality to his voice, desperate to sway them, so he figured Dean could, too. They shared a complicated look.
"How long do we have?"
Dean asked eventually. Sam shook his head.
"I don't know."
He looked past Dean's shoulder into the dark cabin, where he could see the other Dean laying on his side facing away, the pale, curved comma shape of his back, with his arm folded under his head. The bandage was off, and the claw marks looked awful, pink around the edges and red inside.
2 days?
Dean tried.
"I don't know,"
Sam said again, annoyed.
"I don't remember. It's not like I wrote it down. if we ever even knew. I mean, it was in the paper, but who knows when everyone actually died. He ran a hand through his hair. It was so dirty, it was slick and wet feeling. I don't know. We can spend a couple hours here. It's fine. It was early enough in the day that the heat wasn't at its peak yet, and it was probably stupid to stop, maybe really stupid. But the cabin had flat surfaces and a bed and water. Even without that, getting out of the sun for a few hours would have been tempting enough. Dean didn't say anything in agreement, but he was also looking forlornly into the cabin at the kid on the bed. Dean left to gather firewood despite insistences from the other three that they didn't need any. The kids argued about whether or not Dean was good to go, which ended in a screaming match, which ended in Sammy leaving in a huff to set snare traps. Sam stayed in the cabin with the invalid Dean, because someone had to. He looked around the room for anything to do, cards, backgammon, a notepad or pen, and came up empty. He sat in one of the dining chairs, made hand-shaped angels in the dust on the tabletop, and tried not to think about Dean. It didn't go well. It was haunting him, and the more he thought about it, the worse it got. He felt dirty. He started to second-guess everything. He was fucking insane for what he did. Maybe Dean hadn't been as eager as he thought, and that's why he wasn't talking about it now. His hand on Sam's wrist could have been trying to pull him away, and Sam misread it. The groan was agony, and Dean was just too fucked up about him in a perfectly brotherly way to tell him no. The fact that he came was just biological, involuntary. It was bad no matter how Sam sliced it, but the thought that he'd violated Dean was the worst. It was hell not knowing for sure. He wanted to go out and shout for Dean until he found him, tackle him and tie him down if he had to, whatever would make him talk. Pin him down, maybe get on top of him, fold an arm behind his back and... Sam pinched the bridge of his nose as hard as he could. Breathe in for four, out for four. Stop thinking about your brother. Hey. Young Dean, a groggy slur of sound from the bed. Pass me my water. Sam got his bottle from the counter and handed it to him. When he took it, he rolled over onto his back and his eyebrows went up. I thought you were the other one. You sigh the same. Sam tried to smile. That checks out. Now that he knew Dean was awake, it felt weird not to sit with him in such a small room. Sam pulled a chair up to the bed and sat down. This fucking sucks, Dean said conversationally. He took a swig of water, clumsy with his reclined angle. Just in case you're wondering, this is one of the worst hunts of my life. Sam snorted. Yeah? Which part? He didn't mean to say it. Dean made the same derisive snort back. He set his water bottle on the floor and folded his arm over his eyes. Honestly, I don't know which is worse. Getting mauled by a cougar or you. It was hard to argue with, put so plainly. Fair enough. They went quiet. Dean rearranged the understuffed pillow beneath his head, folding it in half so it propped him up higher. Sam watched him, worry creeping in again. He looked like shit, worse than the rest of them. Bags under his eyes and sweatier than even this otherworldly heat warranted. When he shifted, Sam could see the mattress under him was wet. Do you want me to go? Sam asked. Dean shook his head weakly. Nah, doesn't make it any better. He closed his eyes and lay with his one arm out to the side to keep it away from his wounds, his other hand on his bare stomach. His eyelids looked reddish and bruised, or maybe it was just the low light. Sam had to remind himself, for the millionth time, this was Dean. It was like he had to practice thinking about it the right way. This is your brother, the same one that's outside, the same one you know. The same one you touched. That floated in, too. The same one that kissed you. Sam's stomach flipped, nervous, squeamish. It was the first time he'd been alone with the younger Dean since any of it. He could start to fix things if he knew what Dean wanted, and this was a Dean as much as the other one was. He couldn't ask point blank. but maybe he could know. "What's it like?" he asked, too fast.
Dean frowned, eyes still closed.
"Like someone stabbed me with 4 knives. Thanks for asking."
"No, what's it like? With you and Sam?"
"You and me."
Dean's eyes flew open. His shoulders got tense.
"What's it like?"
Sam felt exactly as stupid as he thought he would. He crossed his arms.
"Yeah, I don't know. What are you thinking? Are you okay?
What do you think about how you want to fuck your brother? Do you like it? Do you feel good about yourself?" He had no idea what he expected Dean to say. He didn't expect a wet, broken laugh. It made him jump.
"Holy fuck, you're serious. Okay, cool. Let's do this."
Dean struggled to sit up higher, pushing his back against the headboard.
"It's a cosmic fucking joke. Is that what you want to hear? It's like if somebody invented the worst possible thing in the world, in a lab, specifically to fuck with me."
He bit out each word, looking down at his hands and absolutely not at Sam.
"It's a nightmare. It's taking this thing that I'm supposed to do. That's supposed to be like the only reason I'm even here, and making it fucked up and sick."
It took Sam a second to realize he was talking about him. Being there for Sam was the thing he was supposed to do. When Dean went on, his voice was quieter, shaky.
"Man, I have looked for books. I've looked for brochures and shit. For those Jesus freak places that'll electrocute my brain or whatever and make it go away. But it's just, it's not in the cards. I know that. It's not like I can tell anyone."
He rubbed a hand over his mouth. The other dug into his own arm.
"I almost told a counselor once, back in school. I thought I was being slick, but I must have said too much, because they told Dad about it. I talked my way out of it, and I forget what I told him. I said it was about some chick. I hated myself so bad I didn't talk to Sammy for a fucking month."
Somehow, Sam remembered that. It was some spring month, and Dean wouldn't even be in the same room as him. He couldn't figure out what he'd done to make him mad. He remembered that he kept trying to make it up to him. He tried to act older, be cooler, steal Dean cans of Coke from the corner store like a crow bringing him shiny things, anything to make him happy. But Dean would just push him away. He'd been so young. He was so young. He didn't realize he was biting the cuticle on his index finger until he tore it in a sharp stab of pain. He sucked at it for a second, but the taste of blood was too much, and he let it well up in the corner of his filthy nail instead, then wiped it on his jeans. Dean still had his head bowed, but he was red all the way up to his ears and forehead. It was heartbreaking. That's what Sam landed on. This whole thing was fucked up and scary, and it was huge, but mostly it broke his fucking heart. It was huge, Sam thought again, slower. Dean didn't break easy. He didn't let up. "This is a big deal to you." Sam tipped his head down, trying to catch Dean's eyes. "This isn't a passing thing." Dean coughed a rueful laugh. "Yeah, no shit, Sherlock." All of a sudden, his head snapped up. "Wait, is that what he told you? You're me?" He covered his face with his hands and groaned. "Shit, I'm fucking this up again. Don't listen to me. Forget I said that. I didn't mean it. I feel like shit. I'm out of it." Sam just watched him. He didn't need to say that he didn't believe him. The important thing was that Dean had said it, as if there were some universal ledger noting it down. 12:42 p.m. PST, 8:10:96. Let the record show, Dean Winchester stated that he does not, in fact, want electroshock therapy because of how he feels about his little brother. Sam waited for one of the other brothers to come back in, but they didn't. The doors were open and the block of sun from front to back remained unbroken on the floor, just dust dancing in its path. Crickets clicked outside. Sam thought about putting his mouth on Dean's nape that morning, how soft his skin felt under his dry lips. He wondered how long Dean had been awake by the time he woke up. He remembered, in a way that suddenly seemed important, that Dean was already half hard when he touched him. Dean turned his head to the side and kept one hand over his face, scrubbing hard across his forehead. His jaw ticked. He was still blushing. He asked, "Do you hate me?" His voice was small, the youngest Sam had ever heard him. Sam's answer came easy. "No." "Do you hate him?" Harder, but no contest. He mostly hesitated to make sure his voice didn't crack. "Still no," he said. His heart sounded like heavy bass in his ears. His face prickled hotly. It was going too far, but there was no world where he didn't ask. The two of them must have talked about it. He saw the way Dean screamed at the kid the other day. "You talked." He had to know. The older you, I mean. Did he talk to you about this? Dean went very still, intense. "Kind of," he said eventually, slow and wary. "Not really." "Okay, did he say whether he still—" He couldn't get it out. How was he supposed to say it? "Does he still want to fuck me, kiss me, want whatever it is you want from your Sam?" His heart was going nuts at the thought of it, dizzy and sickening. Dean rolled all the way on his side, away from him. "Why don't you ask him?" He pulled in and tucked his arm under his head again, the way it was earlier. "Leave me alone." His voice was muffled, in his arm and hard as nails. Looking at the hunched curve of his spine, all Sam could think about was the way he fit his body around it that morning, 13 years away, and how Dean let him stroke his chest and stomach before it became anything else. The closeness of it. Sam stood up. The old chair under him groaned its protest. "I'll be outside if you need anything." He couldn't name the spiky weeds snarled around the old bathtub behind the cabin. They were dry and dead, sharp leaves and strange little seed husks. Sam tore at them with his bare hands, relishing in a strange way the pain of it, the feel of the vines snapping when he pulled. In a few minutes, he had the tub more or less cleared. It was the basin of a porcelain clawfoot tub with no feet and no plumbed drain, just sitting on the ground in its thatch of weeds. The finish was stained and cracked in places, but it had a yellowed rubber stopper in the drain that looked like it would hold. He circled the cabin and found a grimy wooden bucket out by the side of the front porch, then used that to ferry water from the pump to the tub. The water was so cold, it made his hands ache when he sloshed in it, or it felt that way compared to the heat, better than any icy creek they'd ever taken a pit stop at on long summer drives. It took 10 buckets to get the thing even halfway full. He took off his sweat-soaked shirt after the first 4 buckets. Once there was enough water, he took off his jeans, then his socks, boots, and boxers. Not much sense in modesty. They were family, after all. He stepped into the clear, crystal water and tucked his legs in to sink down as far as the small tub would let him. He hadn't met a bathtub that could handle him since he was 16. This was no exception. And it was heaven. He stuck his legs out, hooked the lip of the tub behind his knees, and that let him get his face under the surface. It was like it cured his headache instantly, the cold clean of it. After days of being tired, dirty, and sore, it felt too good to be true. He reached over the side for their grubby bar of soap and lathered up as best as he could in the cold water, scrubbing at the grime with his hands in lieu of a cloth. His nail beds, between his fingers, in the crooks of his elbows, his dick. Between being alone and being clean, it was the best he'd felt since they set out. Second best, maybe, to having his face buried in the soft, dark space between Dean's skin and his pillow, breathing there, waking up with the beat of a living body against his own. He'd made it 10 minutes without thinking about it. A new record. He tipped his head back in the water, letting his hair fan out in waves. The sky was blue-white above, no trees in view, hazy, He scrubbed at his hair with the soap. He tried to ignore his dick, which was the same way it had been all day. Not hard, but a close thing. It was ready to be hard if he didn't keep himself in check, full and heavy under the water. He craned his neck to look towards the cabin. The door was open, but it was quiet inside. He thought about touching himself to clear his head and get it over with, but he was out in the open. He wondered if the others were doing it. It was hard to ignore the persistent thrum of it, and of the four of them, he figured he was best equipped to deal with it, which made the others worse. Two were teenagers, and one was Dean. "The only reason I'm even here," Dean had said. That was at 17. What could Dean possibly think of him now? Sam knew this whole trip wasn't real, or not normal, anyway. When they started out, he hoped the reprieve from their normal lives would bring them closer, and it was a reprieve. It was a hunt, but it wasn't real life, which meant he didn't know whether any of what he wanted from Dean, whatever it was that he wanted, would translate to a world outside this mountain, outside their tent, when they weren't playing My Two Dads to their younger selves. Whatever he wanted from Dean, it was fucking complicated, and they'd had enough complicated to last a lifetime. Still, he slid his legs up higher so he could dunk his head underwater. He kept his eyes loosely closed, and the shadow of his hair floating over his face made the light drift in patterns over his eyelids. His calves prickled under the hot sun. He thought about Dean. It was so frustrating that he could spend his whole life within arm's reach of someone and still not be able to read him when it really mattered. It felt selfish. He thought about Dean. He surfaced once he ran out of breath, water pouring down his face. The sun was hot on the top of his head. He tucked his legs back in so his knees broached the water like dark islands, and he wiggled his toes to work out the pins and needles. The water had gone cloudy with the muck he washed off himself and oily with their cheap soap, making a technicolor film on the surface that glinted in the light. If Dean and the other Sam weren't back yet, and if the other Dean was still in bed, he'd drain the tub and dry off baking in the sun, leaning on the edge or laying in the dry basin. Maybe even if they were around. It was a free cabin. He stood and the water poured off him and splashed loudly into the tub. He knocked the ancient stopper out of the drain with his toes and the water gushed out into the dirt and weeds that surrounded the tub. The sound of it was enough that he didn't hear the crackly footsteps of someone approaching through the forest until they were out in the open.
"Jesus, Sam."
Dean, hardly more than a pained grunt. Sam turned around, not thinking. Dean, the older one, was standing by the nearest of the nearly dead dry trees that ringed the cabin, holding an armful of splintery wood with his hatchet balanced on top. He wasn't looking at Sam directly. His head was turned to the side and his face was red, blushing or just sunburnt. But he also wasn't going into the cabin. He stopped walking. Sam was standing naked and wet in an old bathtub, and Dean was also there. The way Dean wasn't looking at him seemed dramatic and petty, but now that Sam thought about it, how often had Dean been a little weird about his nudity, specifically? Always happy enough to flaunt his own body, but just as likely to make himself awkwardly busy when Sam was the one getting changed with the door open. It never fit with the rest of how they were, Sam thought. They shared toothbrushes, stitched wounds, and cleaned puke, and Dean's selective prudishness never fit. But maybe it did, now. Water plinked off Sam's body into the draining tub. He slicked his hair back with both hands.
"Hey."
He cleared his throat. He thought he sounded pretty normal. "The bathtub works." He expected Dean to ignore him, storm off and head for the cabin, but slower than anything, like it hurt. Sam could see him work his jaw even from a few yards away, tense. Dean managed to look at him. He held his mouth weirdly, tight, and his eyes met Sam's. Dean said,
"Cool,"
about as quiet as it was possible to say. Sam held his breath. Dean's eyes didn't stay on his for long. They dropped, obvious, and Sam's heart raced in his chest. It had never been like this. Sam worked out because he didn't know how to knot, because it made him feel human, not because he thought the way his body looked would get him anything material, but it seemed helpful now, watching Dean's eyes trace the shape of him. He felt vaguely proud. He felt good after hiking for days, if not a little lean and tan. He didn't want to look down to check, but he could feel his dick still hanging heavy, not obscenely hard, but noticeable. He watched Dean notice it. It felt like they spent an hour staring at each other as Sam dried in the sun, but it couldn't have been more than a handful of seconds. Dean was looking at him. Sam was watching him look. The thing he kept glimpsing out of the corner of his eye in hunches and half sentences was in the spotlight. Dean's face wasn't easy to pin down. Awkward, tired, kind of wistful. Brow furrowed like he was thinking very, very hard. "Look," Sam croaked, breaking the silence. He swallowed and it felt like there was a knife in his throat. "If we're on the same page, just tell me." Whatever Dean's expression was before, it crumpled. His lips parted for a second, a flashing glint of mouth catching the sun, but he didn't say anything. He was quiet for long enough that Sam ran out of whatever scraps of restraint he had left. "Put that stuff down," he said. It came out so soft. He meant for it to be in order, for Dean's benefit. "Come here." He'd deal with what happened next if Dean actually listened to him. Sam's hands were buzzing, flexing at his sides, all nerves. His face was numb. When Dean didn't move, he tried. "Dean." And if it came out sort of wheedling, "too little brother," it wasn't intentional. It snapped Dean out of it, but not in the way Sam wanted. His eyes got big for a second and darted away, towards the cabin and then the forest, like he remembered where he was. He kicked into action, hefting the wood higher in his arms, and he headed for the cabin without saying anything. He dumped the pile of wood on the back porch and disappeared inside, kicking the door so it ground shut behind him. From the tub, Sam could hear him barking something at his younger self, nothing helpful. Sam stared at the closed door for longer than he'd like to admit. He was mostly dry by the time he pulled his clothes back on.